There are leaders and there are followers. And I think it's fair to say that the recording artist singing that memorable hit song back in 1963 was very happy to be a follower. I'm Ronnie Allen, and it's my pleasure to introduce the artist formerly known as Little Peggy March. I don't think she is anymore. We're going to ask her. Peggy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ronnie.
You are no longer Little Peggy March.
When I signed with RCA, I was 13 and I was 4'10". So I was very small, and Hugo and Luigi, who were my producers, thought it was very cute to call me Little. No. I hated it, of course, and, well, I guess the moniker stuck and there's nothing I can do about it, which is fine.
In fact, the way the March came about, initially you were born with the name Margaret Ann Marie Batavio.
Correct.
Not so coincidentally, you were born on March 8th, 1948.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you could have ended up as Peggy January or Peggy December.
I could have.
You were born in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. You recently celebrated your 60th birthday.
Yes, I did.
And you were in Germany at the time.
Yes, I was.
During the next half hour, we're going to play some of your biggest hits, some of your favorite records, and at least one that is not one of your favorite records, but one that a lot of our listeners do enjoy anyway.
That's fine.
You actually got your break singing at a wedding, I believe. Is that
right.
Correct?
Yes, my cousin's wedding. I was the designated entertainer for the family, I guess you could say, and being from an Italian family, Batavio, obviously, we had quite a few weddings, and I would sing at all of them. And this particular one, there happened to be a man there who claimed to have managed Al Martino, and so he asked my father, he said, would like to take me under his wing and do all kinds of things and get me to a recording studio, et cetera, et cetera. My father said, absolutely not. But I was way too young, and I begged Dad. I begged him and begged him, and eventually, I guess, I won out because this man did eventually get me there. Of course, he eventually also stole, or I should say, borrowed all my money and never gave it back. However, I'm just another 1960s statistic as far as that is concerned. But, yes, I was discovered at a wedding.
This gentleman did introduce you to some well-known producers.
Hugo and Luigi, they had produced Tokens at that time and many other artists, and they were with RCA, and that's eventually where I wound up with RCA Victor. And that was an extremely big label at that time and very, very important label. So I was very lucky to be on their roster, and that was a super, super thing.
They co-wrote the song by Elvis, Can't Help Falling in Love.
Yeah, they wrote quite a few things, as a matter of fact. They also wrote Hello, Heartache, Goodbye, Love, and I Wish I Were a Princess.
Well, that's the one we're going to get to in a few moments. You'll tell us what you think about that song. But before we get to it, we're going to do things in order. One of the first things they did was they gave her the nickname Little Peggy March because of your height, and you were only 13 years old at the time, I believe, when you first recorded. And, in fact, the first record you did with them was a song called Little Me.
Yes, it was from the musical Little Me. Since Caesar was in it, and it didn't last very long on Broadway, nor was it a very commercial song. So it was fun to record and fun to sing, but the show, of course, did nothing. So, obviously, the song didn't either. But it was fun to go into the studio and do that.
Was this your first release on RCA?
Yes, it was.
And I seem to recall there were a couple of kazoos in there, too.
There were a couple of kazoos.
Let's listen to it right now. Now, this is the one that actually was the beginning of your recording career. And this is Little Peggy March with Little Me.
Who to tell your troubles to?
Lend a sympathetic ear.
Who to cheer you when you're blue?
When
a job goes down the drain
and the landlord ups the rent,
when you fall in love in vain
or you give it up for Lent,
friends can't fly the coop,
leave you in the soup.
Who comes through with medals and to get to fundamentals when the chips are really down? Who will not be out of town?
We'll always care most.
Hang around your door most.
When you're in despair most.
Who's the one who pays the floor most?
Who's your first and foremost?
Little Peggy March with Little Me. And I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Peggy March, and we are reminiscing about her career. And was I Will Follow Him the very next release?
Yes, it was.
It didn't start out as an English song. I believe it started out as a French song.
Actually, it started out as an instrumental. Paul Marriott, years and years and years later, came up to me. I was singing for Germany in Caracas. I was doing a song festival, and he came up to my husband and said, "Is that Peggy March over there?" He said, "Yes," and he said, "I'd like to talk to her if it's possible." So he said, "Sure, I'll bring you over." So he did, introduced himself and thanked me for his house and his car, and I looked at him and I said, "I'm sorry, I don't understand." He said, "I wrote I Will Follow Him." I said, "Well, your name is not on the label." He said, "No, I was writing under an alias at that time, because he didn't want people to know that he was writing commercial music. He was writing serious things." And then a French lyric was put to it. It was then recorded in French, was a huge hit in France, and then was translated, or an English lyric was written to it, and it wound up on Hugo and Luigi's desk.
And the song, I believe, was called Chariot. It looks like chariot, but I think it's...
Right, it's Chariot is how it's pronounced, yes.
Hugo and Luigi got this song on their desk. Did they immediately say, "Aha, we know who's got to record this one"?
Yeah, that's pretty much, I think, how it happened. I wasn't in the office at the time, but I do remember going in there and seeing this particular song in its lead sheet form, if you will, on their desk, and having them play it for me. And I took it home to learn it and to sing it, because we were going into the studio pretty quick after that. So I do remember that day very well.
Could you tell us a little bit about the backup singers on I Will Follow Him?
Well, first of all, the song was recorded in Studio A at RCA on 24th Street in New York City. It was with a full orchestra, and I was literally in the middle of the orchestra singing my heart out. You've seen pictures of Sinatra, most of you have, when he's recording right in the middle of an orchestra, and that's pretty much what we did also. My problem was that my voice was so loud it was overpowering the other microphone, so they put me in an isolation booth. But in the middle of the studio, in the middle of the orchestra, we recorded this song over and over and over again. The voices were put on later after my job was basically finished. It was four male voices and some female voices also. It was the I think that made it initially different. It was very, very different. Sammy Lowe's arrangement, and it was very classic, but because of the beat of it and the repetition of it, it was also very commercial and very much a part of what was happening at that time. I mean, I'm always considered a girl group, even though I'm a single artist. It's always been that way, and it's very bizarre, but that's the way it is.
They could call you the Peggy Marches.
I guess.
I will follow him, follow him wherever he may go. There isn't an ocean too deep, a mountain so high it can't keep me away. I must follow him, ever since he touched my hand I knew.
How big was the orchestra?
Oh, it was huge. It was a complete string section. We had timpanis. We had xylophones, at least two. We had a brass section. We had, of course, the whole rhythm section. So it was a huge orchestra, maybe 30, 34 pieces.
Number one smash hit from 1963. And that stayed at number one for 3 weeks in Billboard.
Right.
You established a record at that point. You became the youngest female singer to hit number one on the U.S. chart. On the
correct.
Top 100, Hot 100, whatever. Do you still have that record?
Yes.
Goodness.
It holds, yep.
It still holds.
Yep.
That's an amazing, amazing thing. I am Ronnie Allen, so pleased to be talking with Peggy March. Now we come to that one.
We're talking about I Wish I Were a Princess. It bothered me more at that time than it does now. Granted, I was only 15, but I pretty much knew at that time what was good and what was not so good. And I thought I Wish I Were a Princess was a bit too adolescent for teenagers because she's singing about being a princess and making him her prince rather than speaking about love and heartache and things of that nature. It was talking about girlish things. And I think
right.
That's what bothered me more than anything.
Even though you were very young and you were very tiny.
But again, if you talk to any teenager, even today, I don't think anyone wants to be totally reminded of their their age, especially if they're under the age of 16. And it's tough for kids. It's hard enough as it is. And this was not something that pleased me greatly.
I wish I were a princess.
Follow-up single to I Will Follow Him, and it did become a chart record, I Wish I Were a Princess. Well, that's over, Peggy. Now we're going to move on to the next one. I have to confess, I actually like that record.
You're not alone. Just because I don't doesn't mean it's a bad thing. There was something that I was going through at the time, and it was a more personal thing, I think, than anything else. The song is still good. I just didn't think it's as good as, for instance, Tell a Heartache Goodbye Love. I thought that was a super song.
That's the next one we're going to get to right now. We're still in the year 1963, and Hello Heartache actually did better on the chart then.
Yes, it did. This also was written by George Weiss and Hugo and Luigi, and I love this song. I loved it because it had a lot of high notes, and I could really get into it, and again, it was a song about love and heartache. There we go. It was just something more up my alley, let's put it that way, and I loved it. Absolutely loved the song, and I still do.
Hello! Thank you.
Peggy March. And were you still Little Peggy at that time?
Yes, I was. In fact, we got rid of the Little moniker on my 16th birthday. We celebrated it in New York on the Clay Cole TV show, which was like American Bandstand, but it was obviously more regional. I had a cake, and my mother came up, and all that other stuff, and the Little was crossed out on the cake, but I still have this name, and over the years, I have gotten used to it.
We want to point out to our listeners that Clay Cole is back. He has his own website, www.claycoleshow.com, and he's got so many pictures. I believe he must have at least one or two pictures of Peggy March.
He probably does.
Going to play a record now called, this one seems like almost an oxymoron, The Impossible Happened.
Yes.
And of course, if it happened, then it really wasn't impossible. But this was the follow-up, I believe, to Hello Heartache.
Yeah, I liked this song also. However, RCA was going through its problems at that time. Their promotion department was starting to break down. There were a lot of problems in-house, a lot of backbiting going on. It lost a lot of the reputation that it had. So I, of course, was mixed up in the middle of that, needless to say. So the song did not do what it could have done or should have done.
Nonetheless, I think it's a good song, and this was your fourth charted record. This is, believe it or not, a song called The Impossible Happened, and this is, still she was, Little Peggy March. Okay, that was The Impossible Happened, Little Peggy March. And now I want to ask you a question about the British invasion. How did that affect you and how did you feel about it?
Well, of course it did affect me, being an American recording artist, very much so. I mean, we were going back and forth and I was going to England all the time doing things. But a wonderful story is that when I was promoting in England Hello Heartache Goodbye Love, which did very good there, I was put on a show called Jukebox Jury. I was sitting on a panel and records were being played, pictures were being shown of potential artists and say what their potential of their particular songs becoming hits. And so a song by a very strange group called the Beatles came on, and I did not like it, I must say. And in any case, I, being a foreigner in their country, I decided to be very nice to them, and I said, if this song ever comes to the States, it'll be a huge hit. Well, as I always say, I didn't realize what a genius I am.
What was the song?
She loves you, yeah. So it was a year later, my father was driving with me. I was practicing for my license, because you have to be 16 in the state of Pennsylvania to get your license. And I heard it come on the air, and I said, I know this song. And obviously it became a huge hit, and obviously the rest is history.
You became very big in Germany. over a period of years?
Well, let me go back first. In 1963, again, RCA being a very international label, they sent a lot of their artists to different countries to record in different languages. First, it was inexpensive for them because they already had the tracks. All they had to do was have other lyrics put to them, and that particular artist re-record them. So it was no real big deal. And once the company over there, whoever branch company was taking over their sales and their representation and so on, even though it was on the RCA label, they had in Japan, they had their own staff, of course, they had their own Japanese staff, in Germany, their own German staff, and so forth and so on. So they sent me to Germany, they sent me to Japan, they sent me to South America, they sent me to France, they sent me to Italy. And I recorded in all these countries. In Germany, though, eventually songs were written for me, specifically for the German market,
right,
in the German language. Eventually, songs are written for me for the Japanese market in the Japanese language, and Italian, the same thing. So I was recording songs in these countries, in these different languages, which was why I was never in high school. I finally graduated, but I was very rarely in school because I was traveling around all the time and in these different countries doing all kinds of different things. At that time, I established a record career in Germany that continues to this day in the German language. Most people forget that I'm a foreigner, and I'm actually American. And so I was celebrating my 60th birthday in Germany on a huge television show.
Wow.
That's where we were when you contacted me.
Are you fluent in the German language?
Yes, I am.
I guess after all those years, you almost have to become fluent.
Well, we live there, too.
We're going to talk just a little bit now about your website and also about your artwork before we play the last record. What is the address of your website?
My website is peggymarch.net, and I had absolutely nothing to do with it. This was a young lady who actually came through a fan of mine who knows pretty much everything about me, more so than I do, actually. He told me that a young woman had created a website for me, and I finally got a hold of this young woman, and I said, "Why did you do this?" And she said, "Oh, I had to make a website for an exam." And I went to European recording artists for whatever reason and came up with a couple of them, one of which was me. But then when she found out I was an American, she got all excited and decided to do this website on me. So Robin still does my website.
Great.
I have never met Robin. She puts on the performances I'll be doing, and we keep in contact constantly. She's got pictures of mine from my gallery, if you will, and photos of mine from the beginning of time until up until now, and a few clips and snippets of CDs and things of that nature that she has done over the years, she and another friend of ours. And so, again, it's like really wow. I love it. I think it's great.
Do you do watercolors?
Yes, I do watercolor.
Are your paintings in galleries throughout the world?
No. I had three shows in Germany, and they did very, very well there, and actually had a critique in one of the number one German newspapers on my artwork, which was very cool. I've never done anything here in the States. Maybe I will when I'm old and gray. I don't know. I'm not ready for that now, but eventually.
Peggy, thank you. I want to wish you health, happiness, success, and
likewise.
Hope you have a great 2008 and many, many, many more great
Thank
years.
Thank you, Ronnie.
We're going to close with a song written by Paul Anka. And did he write that song for you called I'm Watching Every Little
I'm
Movie?
I'm Watching You, and it has in parentheses Every Little Move You Make.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes, I was promoting Hello Heartache, Goodbye Love in England, and he happened to be there at that time also on promotion and doing all kinds of things that he did. He was a big star there. And he had written the song for me, and I was quite impressed, and I was flabbergasted meeting this man. I don't remember even saying hello or even talking to him. But I did like the song very, very much and enjoyed recording it. And when I met him, like 30 years later, he actually remembered the incident and remembered the song. So that's kind of cool, too.
Night, Peggy.
Night, Ronnie. Take care now.
What you're doing without me now that you've been gone. I'm watching you, watching every girl as you give them all the eyes to dance another song. Yeah, I'm watching every little move you make, every little step you take, every little heart you break. Yeah, every little thing, every little word you sign, it's every little time I die. And every little time I try to look the other way. Bye.
Well, that's the show. And now a couple of bonus tracks by Peggy. This one is called I'll Never Forget Last Night.
I'll never forget last night. I fell in love. I fell in love with you. You were standing all alone when I saw you at the dance. And a thrill I've never known came to me with just a glance.
Finally, here's a bonus track that is in German. This is called Romeo und Julia.
Wir beide sind nicht Romeo und Julia. Die beiden, die man vom Theater kennt. Von Herrn Shakespeare, wir werden alle Sorgen überstehen. Komm, komm her zu mir, mein Darling, überleg dir, wann wir Verlobungsringe kaufen gehen. Die Leute in unserer Straße, sie reden von dir und mir, wenn wir uns verliebt. Beide machen Romeo und Julia. In puncto Tränen keine Konkurrenz.